BYU basketball back to work. After a tough loss in Lubbock, the 16-2 Cougars now take on a massive homestand. A rivalry renewal with Utah first, then number one ranked and undefeated Arizona visits. We'll preview it all with freshman phenom A.J. DiBonsa coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
We are live in Studio C from BYU Broadcasting in Provo, Utah. Wherever and however you're connected, great to have you with us. I am your host tonight, Spencer Linton. We are streaming live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps, as well as ESPN+. And how about this loaded show lineup? We'll first catch up with KY, then take you behind the shot, a special feature by BYU Photo. Freshman star and All-American candidate A.J. DiBonsa will join the show. We'll have Q&A with Coach and A.J. and, of course, preview a massive home series for the Cougars. We have properly set the stage now, so let's welcome back the pride of Sprayberry High School, a man who can probably still dunk a basketball, your head coach of the BYU Cougars, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Young. Coach, great to have you with us. Thanks for letting me hang out with you tonight.
Great to have you here, man. Yeah.
Not often you get a midweek break, and it's a gauntlet of a schedule, but how have you maximized the break of sorts with you and your team and your family not having a midweek game?
Yeah, it's been good, man. Just trying to hit the reset button. You know, I kind of likened it to sort of the NBA All-Star break, if you look at kind of the calendar. So we've kind of used it as a chance to reevaluate where we are with the things we're doing schematically, see if some things that we want to tweak or add or take away and throw in the trash. and we've done all that. And then in terms of the home life, yeah, just been nice to be home a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a perfect follow-up there, because maybe more importantly, have you been able to catch up on any sleep, you and your wife Melissa, with the new baby at home?
Yeah, the baby's figuring it out a little bit, you know, and I try to try to give a little extra support when I can, being a little less busy this week. But I don't know if you ever fully catch up on sleep with the little one. Yeah.
It's true. Is it? Does a better sleep schedule have anything to do with coaching?
No. It's between that and the baby, it's just your mind's always racing. Yes. And it's tough.
How do you feel like your team has responded in practice with this break and coming off a tough loss? Never easy to lose a game, but you haven't lost a game since all the way back in November. So how do you feel like they have responded?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think, you know, the best thing to do after losing a game is to play another game, right? Because you get to kind of just move on. So when you're sitting on a loss, you're stewing on, I think everyone's a little bit more grumpy. Everything's a little bit harder. So we've had to challenge the guys a little bit in practice, which has been good. You know, I'm pretty even keeled, but, you know, have had to get after the guys a little bit, which sometimes they need a little kick in the pants. So see how they respond to it. Today, I thought we had a good day today.
And how is the health of the team with the additional rest and no game?
Yeah, you know, this time of year, man, everyone's kind of banged up. You got a couple bumps and bruises here and there. You know, outside of the things that happened early on in the year with some of the season-ending injuries, we've been able to avoid anything, you know, major. Had a scare the other day in practice, but nothing came from it. And that's a challenge for me to work on the things we need to work on, but still understand the main thing is the player's health. And so I think about football. Like, I don't know how those guys do it where they're just banging heads all week and everybody's ready to go for the game day. So, you know, it's a challenge, but, you know, we've got a great sports science team over there, and we are very, I think everyone's minds actually would be blown with the amount of technology that goes into the loads and keeping guys healthy and stuff like that. And we try to pay attention to that.
The attention to detail is fascinating, and you are a master of it in the basketball world. But I think that you don't get enough credit for your attention to detail in fashion sense. I would like everybody to notice the shoes that Coach opted for tonight. And there's a backstory there, Coach.
Yeah. So AJ, very giving guy. He gave these shoes to all the coaches over Christmas, which was nice. And they're so cool and so, I think, rare. I was going to never wear them. I was literally going to just place them on a mantle in my office and just kind of have them as a showpiece. And then I saw that he was coming on the show today, and, you know, why not?
Can we put our hands together for the attention again? Knowing your audience and knowing who's going to be with you on the show. All right, that is Catching Up with KY. It's time for us now to look back on the showdown in Lubbock with highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health. And, Coach, I know it's a loss, but you had some guys that had fantastic games. Let's go ahead and start with Richie Saunders doing his thing. 18 points on 7 of 15 shooting. Richie doing Richie things, making hustle plays, 4 rebounds, a couple of steals as well. What did you like about how he showed up and played in Lubbock?
Yeah, I mean, really it was that stretch in the second half where he hit a couple threes in a big moment that allowed us to build the lead that we did. I thought the guys did a good job, like in that clip, of screening for him and moving the ball. And, I think his experience of kind of playing in these hostile environments reared its head in that game, and trying to get him to sort of shed light on that with some of the guys who haven't been there yet.
Yeah, what does he do to as we dive into that subject, to help guys that have not been in those specific types of circumstances?
I think he's such an everyday guy, you know, and he's a pretty quiet, you know, guy by nature. And so trying to bring it out in him in terms of being a little bit more vocal to bring guys along. But what he really does, man, he's a tone setter in games, in practice. You know, the guy has one speed, and so when you're not going as hard as Richie, you know, it really stands out. And so, but again, trying to really encourage him to be a little bit more vocal with it.
So that takes me to our second set of highlights, and Rob Wright III had a fantastic game. And frankly, I knew he was special, but then I heard Richie talk about trying to defend Rob, and when I heard Richie say, "Oh man, I hate guarding that guy," I knew that Rob was next level, and Texas Tech found out that he is such a special player with a deep bag in the basketball world.
Yeah, no, he got going in that game. He's so dynamic off the dribble, can get anywhere he wants to on the court. I love him seeing that kind of emotion out of him. He's pretty even keeled as well. It was hard to keep him off the floor. I only took him out for really a minute, literally in the second half, because he hurt his pinky, and, you know, they made a push, you know, and so he's that valuable where we need to have him on the floor, you know, pretty much at all times. And he just puts so much pressure on the paint, and it must be a big focal point of everybody's scouting report.
28 points for Rob Wright, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. And I'm glad you brought it up, because he went immediately off the floor. It looked like a dislocated pink or something, and he got it popped right back in his non-shooting end. How's he doing with that?
So one thing that me and Rob Wright have in common is our left pinkies. Do you guys want to see it?
Let's go.
Yep.
We learn something new every day.
You know, so me and Rob have the pinky. We're pinky twins. So I in college, I played my last 2 years with the two of them taped together. So I have some sympathy for a bum pinky. But it doesn't stop him. You know, it doesn't stop him. We just had to get it taped up real quick and got him right back in the game.
Glad to hear he's doing all right. Let's take a look at the final stats from the Texas Tech game. And again, BYU, 9-point lead with just under 10 minutes to play. You know it better than most. In the NBA and the college scene, like, when a home crowd gets going, it just, like, it is hard to stop that momentum. You end up losing the game by 13, but it felt a lot closer than that. And you still had a lead with 5 minutes to go. So I know you've already addressed it once, but for the show today and the crowd here, you know, what's the point of emphasis to try and stop that locomotive when it's running downhill?
Well, I mean, I think that one of the things, and I openly say this to the players, like, I'm more critical on me and other coaches than I am the players. You know, there were some things we probably could have done a lot better in that game, particularly when they got going on that run. But at the same time, it's basketball. You know, we fouled a three-point shooter. They bank in a three from the top of the key, and then a guy who's not a high-volume three-point shooter bangs in 2 threes. And that's what happens sometimes. So you got to be able to, you know, respond. You always have to have an answer, which I didn't as the head coach, and that's something that we're working on to make sure we can push the right buttons. But the thing I think for the players, what we try to talk about with them is the margins are small. You know, there was a lot of game plan mistakes that we made that cost us, you know, 2 points here, 3 points there, you know, even the three that top and banked in, you know, like just having your hand up a half second sooner. You know, the margins literally are that small. And so it was a good, you know, say what you want. I mean, I don't, however many games we won in a row, there is a natural element of sort of, oh man, we're good. No, we're not good. We got to keep doing the right thing time after time after time. And, you know, it cost us a game, and hopefully our guys can learn from it.
It was 13 straight wins, and now you look to start a new win streak. When it comes to the numbers, again, I know that you're very in the details. When you see those final stats and you see a number like 5 assists and 12 turnovers, but every game's kind of got its own personality, and Texas Tech was allowing you to do some more individual things with Rob. So how do you assess those numbers in that specific game?
Well, I mean, you can't have an assist if you don't make shots, you know. So we had a ton of wide open threes that, you know, usually half of those go in for us. They didn't go in, and that happens sometimes. I thought I give them credit. They did a good job on not fouling AJ. You know, I think he draws as many or more fouls than literally any player in the country, and, you know, he only got to the line one time. I did think there were some fouls that didn't get called by the officials, but that's life. That happens, and you got to play through it. But I thought that was just almost as big of an impact as the non-assist were.
All right, well, we're talking about assists, and the assist count is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years, so we'll add 5 more assists this week. Next is a new segment, or a new reader of sorts. It's our Bully on the Boards count, presented by Big Bully Turf. Woman-founded, Waffles-approved, 35 boards for BYU. Beto Ahmed, Hadim Boop each led the team with 6. I hear you probably say that word more than any other word in the huddle during every game that I'm watching your team, is rebound, rebound, rebound. How do you feel like your team's doing in general at this point of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, on the offensive glass, we're one of the best teams in the country. That is something that we want to continue to be good at, but you know, we gotta continue the defensive rebound. You know, it's, I mean, the folks that have come to this show often hear me talk about all the time. I mean, and it's saying it to all the kids again, I said it last week, basketball is a math game. It really is. You get more shots, you're gonna have a better chance to win. You limit their shots, and it really is. How many shots on goal can you get, and how many can you limit from the other team, and how do you do that? You out rebound them, and you don't turn the ball over, or you turn them over. It's that simple. And so, you know, I'm a pretty black and white type thinker, and that's pretty black and white for me, so that's why we talk about it so much.
Math 101 with Kevin Young, available in the summer term at BYU, the sports element.
There we go.
I love it. All right, that takes us to the updated January schedule, and you look at what's ahead. You're entering the gauntlet part of the schedule, but it's the Big 12. It feels like every week is a gauntlet. Seriously, that's not hyperbole. You get a rivalry match with Utah on Saturday, and then turn around on one day's rest on Sunday to play a big Monday game against number one ranked and undefeated Arizona, followed by a road game at Kansas. Big January ahead for BYU. Coach, quickly, how do you feel about things stacking up for the end of the month?
Yeah, I mean, I know this sounds super like coachy of me, but it's really truly what I believe in. We're focused on Utah. You know, I know we need to talk about what's coming up, but we don't, you know, we look at what's right in front of us. You know, Utah is a team that, you know, gave us a good game up there. Obviously a rivalry game, anything can happen, but at the same time, been super impressed what they've been able to do in conference. You know, they've come up short in a few games, but I mean, their two guards are, you know, literally scoring 50 points a night between the two of them against every team in our league. And so we're going to have our hands full. And then everything after that obviously is, you know, enticing on paper, but we're focused on Utah right now.
All right, we've covered math, we've covered fashion, we've covered baby sleep schedules, and yes, some basketball. But it is time for our first break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join me, Spencer Linton, and Jerem Jordan weekdays, noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we take you inside some BYU photo magic, and one of the best college basketball players in the country, AJ DiBonsa, joins us. BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues after this.
BYU basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful. And Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope.
Devonta will join us in just a few minutes. Welcome back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's special feature is presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Many of you have seen this epic picture from BYU Photo with A.J. Devonta dunking in front of the Wasatch Mountains. Well, tonight, BYU Photo's Nate Edwards gives us a glimpse behind the scenes in a feature titled Behind the Shot.
You know those experiences in life where everything just clicks and it goes smooth and it just feels right? This was not one of those times for me. I've always been drawn to visual arts, drawing, painting, airbrushing. But I really fell in love with photography when I was about 25 years old. After college, I landed my first full-time job as a photographer at my alma mater, Utah Valley University. That year, UVU launched its first men's NCAA Division I soccer team. It was the only one in the state of Utah, but we didn't have a football team there, so that became our football team. I still remember that first big production shoot. We had makeup artists, lights, rain machine, video crew, we had everything. I was just the second shooter, but I took a few photos only using available light that I was really proud of. One of those photos actually ended up as a billboard. It was my first one ever, and I will never forget seeing it driving down the freeway. That was a really big deal for me. So fast forward more than a decade. I've been at BYU for over 9 years now, and that shoot has always stuck with me. I've really wanted to do something on that same level for our teams here at BYU, something big, something cinematic and unforgettable. Earlier this year, I traveled to Brooklyn for the NBA draft, and the street ball courts there completely grabbed me. When the nation's number one recruit, A.J. Devonta, signed with BYU, I knew that this was the opportunity to do something big. That started the hunt for the perfect location. I scouted all over Utah County, searching for that same street ball feeling, but with a Utah-style twist to it. I was really struggling finding a good location. I went to so many different courts, but they looked too nice and too new, and I really wanted something old and grungy, something that showed character. Then my coworker, Aaron Cornea, he had mentioned an old elementary school in Orem where the building had been torn down, but the playground and hoops were still standing. Now, at first when I went there, I wasn't really sure, but then as I walked around a little bit more, I noticed the perfect angle. There was a basketball hoop perfectly framed with the Wasatch Mountains in the background, and I knew that if I timed it just right during sunset, the peaks would glow bright orange while the valley fell into the shadows, and that was the shot. Aaron and I later met with Shauna Howell on location to plan out all the details of the shoot. Now, if you don't know Shauna, she's the BYU Athletics Creative Director and the genius behind all of our men's basketball team graphics, posters, and everything else. While we were walking around, we really loved the old wooden backboards in the schoolyard, but they were on the wrong side of the playground. So we got permission from the school district and swapped them out for the photo shoot. Of course, we ran into some problems. The bolt stripped out on the backboard, and the bolt patterns didn't match the other metal backboard plates. That meant AJ couldn't actually dunk the ball. He would just have to fake it. After weeks of planning and going over the logistics of the shoot, it's finally shoot day. We made sure to get there hours before to set up all of our lights and get everything ready to go. And then one thing really caught me off guard. All of the players showed up on time.
What's going on?
Good
How you doing?
Good.
Tyler, how you doing?
It's not uncommon for me to tell people to be on location a little early, so it gives us a little buffer if they get there late. So normally showing up on time is a good thing. With the players there on time, I felt super rushed to start the shoot before the sun started to set. And honestly, that got me really disjointed and I felt completely thrown out of my groove. Now, it wasn't their fault. They showed up when they were supposed to. But as I started the photo shoot, it felt kind of like I was painting in the dark. I knew what I wanted to create, but every brush stroke felt off and I couldn't tell if I was ruining it or if I was discovering something new. That one shot with AJ was the heart of the shoot for me. Timing is absolutely everything. There's probably a 5-minute window when the light was perfect on the mountains. So I explained to AJ the shot I wanted to get, how we're gonna have to fake the dunk because of the backboard situation, and that in and of itself created a lot of challenges. I felt like I was racing the clock to get AJ into position, getting the lighting right, snapping a few photos right before the light was gone. There were a lot of things out of my control, and I felt like almost nothing was going as I had envisioned. Honestly, I didn't think we got what I wanted. Now, we captured everything else on the list, the pose, the action, the team photos, but I felt super down. I was pretty convinced that the AJ dunk shot didn't work, or any of the other shots for that matter. I left the shoot feeling sick, and I was in a pretty bad mood. I didn't sleep great that night. I came into work the next morning reluctantly to go through the photos from the shoot. But as I went through those photos, I realized things actually turned out better than I expected. Now, there was no moment during the shoot where I felt like I got the shot. It was quite the opposite. But then I came across the images I took of AJ and thought, this is actually pretty good. I think I can work with these. And let me just tell you, I have been super excited about the finished product. Something this experience taught me is that persistence pays off. Struggles are just part of life and part of the creation process. It's how we respond to those struggles that really matter. We grow through adversity and we're strengthened through persistence. There have been a few times in my career where I've taken a photo and been extremely excited about it, even looking back years down the road. I believe this is one of those photos for me.
Master of his craft, Nate Edwards. I just want to give him a hug after that. Poor Nate, but it turned out well. And here you can see the poster. Yeah, it turned out fantastic. So you saw how it was created. Well, I've got some good news. Everyone in the Kevin Young Show audience tonight is taking home this poster of AJ. You bet. When the show ends, they'll be in the hallway for our studio audience to collect. And with that news, I can't think of a better way to welcome the freshman phenom forward, native of Brockton, Massachusetts, All-American candidate, AJ DiBonsa. All right, AJ, we just heard about the photo shoot and the dunk and posters here. Everyone's going to get one of those. What was that experience like for you?
It was crazy. Nate was kind of, I just seen it actually, he was telling me like how bad the shoot was. Like mid-shoot, he was like, this ain't gonna be good, but we're just gonna try it out anyway. But it was exciting. All of us were there, Richie, Tyler, me, Kay, but Dom, it was a good experience.
Props to you for showing up on time as well. Yeah. Catching him off guard. Well, it's great to have you in studio, my friend, and to get ready for a big week. First and foremost, how are you feeling health-wise? I know that you're a little under the weather and battled, and you got out and played, and weren't necessarily feeling great, but how are you feeling now?
No, I'm good. I'm better. way better.
Okay. What's the biggest challenge in that, in your mind, as you're trying to push your body through when you don't feel well?
It's just fatigue, just physical fatigue. But kind of when the adrenaline gets to me, like on the court, I kind of tune everything out, as you can see.
I believe it was after the TCU game, Coach. You said, I thought AJ was going to die out there, and he just kept playing. What did you see from him in those moments?
Yeah, you know, he's obviously kind of what he said. I mean, great players, you know, competitors, they have an ability to tune things out, you know, and there was that stretch he had where he scored, I think it was 17 of our 21 or something like that to start the second half, and just kind of knew it was time, you know, and just certain players have that in them where they just know it's time, and I think that was kind of what happened in that game.
If you've seen the Jason Bourne movies, it's kind of like when they say the asset has been activated. It felt that way. He's been activated. AJ, I know that you are such a student of the game, and you won 13 straight games at BYU before the Texas Tech loss. But what do you feel like you and your team learned in that loss that's going to help you be better?
We learned a lot. I mean, we watched the film after the game. We seen exactly what we did wrong offensively and defensively. It was still a winnable game despite how bad we played. But we're going to bounce back. Good thing that we have them again. It's going to be a good rematch.
Yeah, a great point you bring up. And to close out the regular season, Texas Tech in Provo in early March. Okay, we're going to switch gears a little bit here. And because it's, you know, Thursday, let's play Throwback Thursday, if you will. We have a great image of you riding in seventh grade. Specifically, what you'd like to be when you grow up. I love this. It says, my name is Anise Dibansa. I said seventh grade. You're 7 years old. Okay? I'm 7 years old. My favorite thing about first grade is gym class. When I grow up, I'd like to be a basketball player. Do you remember writing that?
Nah, yeah, I do actually.
Oh, fantastic. I'd also like to point out that your name, Anise, you're named after your father, who goes by Ace, and you are Anise Jr., thus the AJ. Well, you've told me before what that name means, but I don't know that everybody else knows. So what does Anise mean?
It means undefeated.
Oh, is that not perfect? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Your dad, Ace, and your mom, Chelsea, are here tonight. Great to have them in studio as well. As you assess life in Provo, how is it different now than maybe you thought it was going to be like before you moved here?
The thing is, like, living in Hurricane, when I went to school at Utah Prep, everybody, and then once I committed, everybody was kind of telling me exactly what it's like in Provo, so I had no surprises when I came.
Okay. What's your favorite part about living in Provo, given all of its quirks?
I actually like how, like, peaceful it is. Me being from, like, Brockton, like, the city, very loud and hectic on the East Coast. So I like how peaceful it is over here.
All right. AJ Dibansa, ladies and gentlemen, as a young social media savvy person as well, we want to take you to something we're calling Inside the Post. And let me explain. We have selected a few of your posts on Instagram and are hoping that you'll give us a little insight and context for those unfamiliar about these specific posts, a backstory, if you will. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Number one, you may have seen this guy before, Shaquille O'Neal. And it looked like that shoot was a riot. What was it like working with Shaq?
Yeah, so obviously my advisor used to advise Shaq when he was in the league. So they gave me a script when I got there. He's late. He was like hours late. So like, I'm over here.
You were on time.
I'm always on time. So I'm over here studying the script. And then by the time we get on like the platform to go shoot, like he like tossed my script out. It was like, just follow my lead. Like he told me in like my ear, just follow my lead. And I'm like, all right. So like everything you seen on there was just not on the script at all.
Like, just winging it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Coach, you've been pretty vocal about how down to earth AJ is, even though he's got, you know, superstar status around him and he's working with people like Shaq. How have you viewed that balance of AJ to stay humble the way that he has?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a credit to Ace and Chelsea, you know, and I, obviously, you know, I have young kids, so I'm kind of picking, you know, their brain too, because he's turned out to be a great young man. But, you know, I think that having been around a lot of really, like, of the world-class athletes, particularly in basketball, that is a commonality. Like, the guys who are great are also pretty down-to-earth people. you know, they don't actually make it about themselves, even though they could. And, you know, I think it's like a unwritten rule about, you know, greatness, that is a trait that comes with it.
Well said. Okay, let's keep going inside the post. Number two, and this centers on the AJ Foundation. So the post says, Jamaica means a lot to me and my family. Hurricane Melissa left thousands without homes or food, and we're raising funds to help them rebuild. And you put a link in your bio to donate. And you had an awesome turnout, and people showed up. So, one, what is the AJ Foundation, and what prompted you to go and do something special like this?
Yeah, so actually, like, a couple months, like, when I first got to Provo, I went to Jamaica. Obviously, I'm signed with Nike, so I went all over Kingston and gave them, like, shoes and socks and backpacks and everything. And then Hurricane Melissa actually hit. So there was two things. We did a GoFundMe, because obviously people lost their homes and stuff like that. So trying to raise money to go build tents, like, for temporary stuff like that. But the AJ DiBonsa Foundation was actually, like, brought to me by my parents. And it's like, we're trying to send kids from Jamaica and also Congo, where my dad's from, to just college. Like, Jamaica's a little easier because it's, you know, right there in the Caribbean. So they can come to college over here. In Africa, it's a little bit more difficult. So just trying to send them to, you know, higher level schools just in the continent somewhere in Africa.
So many incredible images that have come out of the AJ Foundation. But hard for me not to get emotional when I see you working with the kids and how much it means to them.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
It's exciting seeing smile on their faces when they get to certain stuff.
No doubt about it. All right. Post number three. This deals with the red, white, and blue of Team USA and the memories that you made across the pond. You said, rather be misunderstood, winning the race. Came in first three times, got to give God all the grace. Most valuable every time I step out, city knows I pop it, never had to doubt. Okay, so walk us through the verbiage there. Because KY and I clearly understand everything right there. But most importantly, winning gold over there and representing the USA.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like big in this day and age about like captions, like certain captions you got on your social media, like the kids in the crowd probably understand. So I'm actually not misunderstood at all. That was a lie. I don't know why I said it. It rhymed. The three times was for my third gold medal. Most valuable, I won MVP. And I just do it for my city. So I said, you know, I pop up for my city.
Okay, now we understand.
Now we understand. I will say about that, that was actually one of my favorite memories so far in working with AJ. I was there in Switzerland, and we had a late night dinner. It was me, AJ, Ace, I think.
Tim was there.
Tim Fanning was there. My wife was there too, and that was fun. We shut down Lucerne, Switzerland one night after a post-game meal. It was a good time.
Fantastic. Core memories. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, post number four. This is a custom Jeff Hamilton jacket. AJ, how did this happen?
I actually met Jeff when I went to the Paris Games for the NBA. Again, my advisor just knows everybody. And he tapped me in with Jeff Hamilton. So we actually went to go watch like his little documentary that he had. We've been tapping ever since. And he says, one day I'm going to get you your own jacket if you keep popping it. And apparently I've been popping it.
You earned it.
Yeah.
Okay. Final post. And this is kind of a combo of things because you've been on so many different magazine covers. But between Men's Health, Slam, Players Tribune, Red Bull Bulletin, what has been your most interesting magazine shoot and why?
Interesting one. That's tough. The thing with me, like, with photo shoots, like, I'm very impatient. So I get my photo shoots, like, I, like, cut it in an hour. Like, I'm a one-take demon, I like to say. I don't like being there for 3 hours, so.
No wonder Nate was so stressed out about the poster.
I don't like being there for 3 hours, so I kind of just get the job done, but. I mean, I enjoyed all three. Slam was nice. Men's Health, all three of them were nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you step back and, like, you look at that. At any point, are you like, I can't believe this is happening?
I mean, if you know me, like, I'm not, like, one of those people that just, like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, I'm just, like, going with the flow. Like, I see myself on a billboard. And I was like, oh, nice.
I'm in Times Square. Nice. Okay. Good. Downplay it. True to form, AJ. So great to have you here again. All right, we're not done yet. We have so much more to go. Coming up, some more fun and games with Kevin Young and AJ with a sneakerhead twist when BYU basketball with Kevin Young continues. Welcome back to BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Presented by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Well, tonight's game show feature is a classic coaches show game that we like to call Sneakerhead Showdown. Ooh. Here's how it works. We're gonna show you two an image of a sneaker, and AJ and Coach will write down their best guess as to how much each sneaker is going for right now. Now, there is a little bit of a caveat. Whoever guesses the closest number to the price without going over wins the round, and we're going to buy you the shoes. I'm just kidding. We're not going to buy you the shoes.
So is this retail price or like the resale price?
Yes. So the price we use is the average between Flight Club right now and StockX. So okay. The average of those two shoe providers, and that's how we're going. Feeling good about this, AJ?
No, they tax too much.
With that in mind, let's play. Okay, shoe number one. It is the undefeated Air Jordan 4. You write down your price, what you think it's going to be in Sneakerhead Showdown.
Can't go over.
Okay, but you can't go over. All right.
I'm looking at my board, man.
Good.
Okay. And the actual retail value between these two shoe stores or retailers is $528. AJ, what'd you have? $375 from AJ. Coach, what'd you have? $599.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, Price is Right rules in play.
Boo.
AJ takes the first round.
Seriously.
All right.
Okay, show number two. Coach, I know you're really going to like these specifically.
Let's go.
This is the Nike SB Dunk Low Ruby Slippers Alternate Edition.
Wow.
If Melissa's looking for a present, you may want to go there.
You got Valentine's Day written all over them.
All right, without going over.
That's tough.
You're not going to believe this, okay? The retail price right now, $12,300.
I was under.
$68.
I was under.
Coach was under.
I have 480.
AJ, 480. Coach said 179.
I was under. Yeah, I was under.
Clearly in the safe territory.
I was definitely under.
$12,368.
Yeah, I was definitely under.
Wow. All right, shoe number three.
Missy's not getting those. Sorry, man. I love you so much, but those aren't coming up.
Valentine's Day will not feature the ruby slippers of Nike SB. Okay, shoe number three. Again, back to the Jordan brand, the Air Jordan 5 Tokyo. All right? AJ, quick to respond. Okay, here's Coach. Again, this might come as a little bit of a shock. I would have guessed where you guys would have guessed. It's $250.
Okay.
Both are well over. Coach said $750. AJ said $899. Okay, we go up tempo. Shoe number four, Nike LeBron 18 Stewie. I like the design of this shoe. Okay, the LeBron 18 Stewie. I have no idea. I'm glad that the producers put the answers in my script. Okay, AJ, you said 300, Coach? 250. Closer, 208. Mm. So, still both over. AJ leading 1-0.
I got two.
You got two? Oh, yeah. That's right, you got two. My bad. Okay, 2-0.
I got to step up.
AJ keeping me on track. Okay. I can't cheat you. Number five. The OVO Air Jordan 14 Retro God's Plan.
OVO.
I'll tell you this much. This is a very exclusive shoe.
Yeah.
Very exclusive.
All right, I'm getting weird.
Let's get it weird. Yeah, let's go.
Come on.
All right. Before I tell you, Coach, what'd you write down?
10 Gs.
10,000. AJ said 2,000. $60,023.
What? Yeah. 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1.
What? Yep.
Coach has cut the lead in half. All right.
That is crazy.
You guys are international travelers.
No one's getting those at my house either, just for the record. No ideas, man. You're not getting those, buddy.
Shoe number 6, the Air Jordan 3 Seoul 2.0. This is a shout out to South Korea, Seoul, South Korea.
Those are sick.
Well, I'm not kidding you. I said to my producer, I'm going to buy, I served my mission in South Korea. I'm going to buy those tonight. All That's not a joke.
Is that before?
Oh, so the price, so you're.
That's a hit, yes, AJ. Knowing how much I don't make. Okay, knowing how much I don't make, that's a hint.
Is that confirmed? You knew the price when you said that comment?
I knew the price when I said, I'm going to buy these tonight.
All right. Okay.
Hey, Chase, battling for this one.
I'm going to stay safe.
Okay. Coach, reveal price.
189.
189, AJ. 205. 164.
Let's go.
164.
That's a good investment.
Right?
That's a good investment.
It's a great investment. Yeah.
Did I just tie the game?
No, you because you're still over. Shoe number 7. All right, we got 4 more to go. It's 2-1, AJ. The Nike SB Dunk Low Orange Lobster. And apparently that little black band on the toe, I've learned from one of our producers, is kind of like an ode to the bands they put around the lobster claws.
Now, can you take it off, or is it?
I think you can take it off.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Will you buy these two? No, okay.
It's pushing it. Okay, AJ says $500. Ooh, Coach, you say?
$179.
The actual retail price is $305.
We just tied it up.
You tied
That's
it
just
up.
Cheating, though, like.
Let's go.
2-2. Let's
okay. go.
Shoe number 8, the Nike GT Future Copper Egg.
I know someone that would probably know that.
I think unless they upped it, I know it.
All right.
The Copper Egg.
All right.
It's not the prettiest shoe. Yeah. Unique. Okay. AJ says 190. Coach, 169. Believe it or not, apparently this is a special feature. $1,500.
Well, I won. So.
AJ's $21 closer. Only $1,310 off, but $21 closer than Coach.
I think we have to educate folks. Is that not the one you wore at the UConn game?
Nah, mine was bright green.
But it was the same. It was the same shoe, same different
color. Same shoe, yeah. Yes. See? Apparently not the copper egg.
Yeah,
nah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, two more to go. Nike Zoom Stefan Janoski Canvas Cherry Blossom.
Those are tough.
It's my style. Yeah, yeah. I'm on board for this.
Stefan Janoski. Yeah. He sound rich. Just go. I don't want to go over.
Nike SB skateboarding shoe, Cherry Blossom.
Let's see. I'm a fan of it. I actually have a lot of these shoes. This brand, this one, not that color. And they're really not that. So.
Try not to give too much away to AJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
AJ says $250. Coach,
I'm
what do you
going,
have? $99. And the actual retail price, $147. What? Are we tied again?
Yeah.
3-3.
And it comes down to the final shoe.
How do we do it? How do we do that? Let's go.
Final.
Game 7.
What?
Final shoe. Number 10. And I'm sorry that we're even showing you this. Well,
what is happening?
This is the CPFM Nike Flea 1 Overgrown. Whoever made this shoe has now been fired.
I would wear those.
It is different. It's an attention grabber.
It is.
No doubt about that.
I don't think it's that much, though.
It's like you can't go over.
Yeah.
Right?
Can't go over.
Can't go over. I have to rethink this.
It comes down to that shoe. All right. AJ? All right, Reveal your boards just for dramatic effect.
199.
He says 150. Coach says 199. Congratulations, Kevin Young. $500.
Hey, man.
$500.
Hey.
$500.
Might need to get that Nike rep on the phone, man. I might need to get my own Nike deal for that. That was impressive. That was impressive.
By the way, AJ, did you notice KY's shoes tonight?
Come on, man. Shout out.
I know. When I first walked in, I seen them.
Yeah.
Detail guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. We appreciate you both playing along in that game. Really fun randomness, if you couldn't tell. Hey, we asked Cougar Nation on social media, what content should AJ show next on his YouTube channel? Because he's got one of those, too. We wanted to give Cougar Nation an opportunity to pitch ideas for you in the channel. AJ, you can take what you want and kick the others to the curb if you don't like it. But before we get to those, where can people find your videos and the AJ channel?
Just on YouTube, just my name, AJ DeBonza.
Okay, simple as that. And I'm told now that, we're not going to be able to run it on the screen, okay? But we do have this coming in from Adam Frank. Oh, now, here we go. Live TV, technology. Let's do this. From at Adam R. Frank.
Oh, that's actually a good one.
AJ and Bear try each other's sports, uniforms and all.
I want to be bad, actually. I used to play football, so I'm not worried.
What position did you play?
I used to play corner and wide receiver.
Let's go. All right, you and
LeBron. But Bear's a quarterback, bro. Like
I can throw, bro.
You know?
It might not be as accurate, but I can
You're
go.
Confident in the right arm? Okay.
Well, how's Bear's hoop game?
I have no idea.
You know?
I know his social game is non-existent.
Yeah. That's right.
I meant social media, not social in general. Love Bear. He's just a quiet character. Yeah. But that could be great content, okay? Next one. This is from at Cougs Corner, says AJ plays a game of horse versus KD.
You'll probably get
that's,
that, John.
That's if he wants to come on the channel.
All right, just a couple of ideas for you. We have to take a break now and come back with some more Q&A. So after the break, we'll hear from our studio audience as they bring the heat in the Q&A segment.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
Welcome back to the show as we move into our audience Q&A for the head coach Kevin Young and AJ DeBonza, presented by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. Okay, let's get to our first question. Tell us your name and what your question is.
My name is Hannah Edwards.
And your question is for?
It's for AJ.
Okay.
What was your first experience like playing at your first BYU basketball game?
That's a good question. My first experience, it was away. It was against Nebraska. It was a good environment. I mean, we lost. So, I mean, you can't. I'm not really satisfied with losses. But, I mean, it was a good experience. We learned a lot from that game. And we bounced back and beat North Carolina at the Delta Center.
All right. Next question.
I am Jonah. And in what area do you think you've grown the most this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I've actually grown my driving skills. I have a license now.
Everybody watch out. Watch out.
I'm on the roads.
Not driving the basketball, driving a car.
Driving a vehicle, yes.
All right. Okay. We're going to go to break now after those two great questions. And here's tonight's And One Trivia, presented by Brady Plus, providing Jan San food service and packaging supplies plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. And the question is, who was the last player to record a triple-double against BYU? We're asking this because AJ produced his own. So who did it against BYU last? The answer coming up next. Welcome back with our trivia answer. Who was the last player to record a triple-double against BYU? The answer is Shaquille O'Neal. He did it in the NCAA tournament. Oh, wow. How about that, Shaq and AJ?
I wasn't ready for that.
Our thanks to our studio audience and to Kevin Young and AJ for being here. Put a hand together, hands together for all these guys and their efforts. We'll see you next week.